some oil was removed, but one of the amazing things, I flew over the site, and you just get an idea of how big it is. 600 miles of beaches were affected. If that were on the East Coast, it would be Cape Hatteras to Cape May. It's a huge expanse. And then you go down in a boat, and as they're trying to sop this up, and sure, they had thousands of people, but they're sopping it up with booms and hoses that are 4 inches in diameter and diapers on the beach. I mean, the difference between the vast scale of the oil and the very hard, almost hand-to-hand combat it is to clean it up is shocking. So they did do some cleanup, but of course we don't know how to clean up oil that's underwater, and that is the oil that keeps popping up. Sometimes they would clean an area, and then a week later it gets oiled. Where did that oil come from? That's the frightening part here.
What about the controversial use of dispersants both on the surface and also at the source of the deep well?
Clearly a big question. The one obvious tragedy is that we were using the same dispersants that we used at Exxon Valdez 20 years ago, and that in the intervening decades, we as a nation had done, and the oil industry as an industry, had done virtually no research to determine better dispersants or better ways to deal with these types of spills. So we've sprayed the same stuff. It is toxic. It doesn't make the oil go away. It just makes it sink and form small blobs. And one of the troubles with sinking is it takes the water, the oil, from the surface where the sunlight and the bacteria may degrade it more quickly and puts it into the cold, dark waters where we don't know what will happen, but there's less biological activity. So it was done in order to try to protect some of the wetlands. And there's some good reasons for that could have justified the use of it. As I mentioned earlier, if you kill the wetland grass, then the whole wetlands erode away, and that's lost forever. And that's obviously one of their main concerns. On the other hand, the dispersant itself is toxic and is creating problems to which we don't know the answer.
We're speaking with Peter Lehner, Executive Director with the Natural Resources Defense Council. His new book is called In Deep Water. And you place a lot of the blame at the hands of the oil industry and at BP, but you also place blame for this accident ultimately at the hands of U.S. consumers. Why is that?
Well, the oil industry has asked for a lot of special treatment, and they've gotten it because, in fact, we demand from them all this oil, and we act as if we will do anything in order to get oil. And of course, think about what we do for oil in terms of our national security and our national economy and the places that are important to us that we sacrifice or put at risk. So we have this craven and desperate appetite for oil. And then, this is the amazing part, we waste it. Of the oil that we use, about three-quarters of it is used in our transportation system. The vast majority of that is used in cars and trucks that are incredibly wasteful. And it's for 30 years, we took almost no steps to make our cars more efficient. We took almost no steps to fund adequately, the way the rest of the world is, mass transit systems and give us the opportunity, which frankly I find much more comfortable, to sit on a bus or a train and get to work or get to where you're going rather than sitting in traffic. So we ourselves for a long time have let ourselves be addicted. Now, I'll be honest, the oil industry has done its best to push that addiction and has helped to thwart every effort to get us off that and to use less oil. But now we've really got to say, okay, enough is enough. Let's cut our use of oil in half over the coming decades and get on a trajectory to dramatically changing our desperate addiction to oil.
And finally, Peter Lehner, how is that accomplished? What has to happen in the future?
Well, the first and easiest step is to make our cars more efficient. A year ago, the president announced the first improvement in fuel economy for cars in decades. And more recently, looking at the model years 2017 to 2025, making the cars perhaps up to 60 miles a gallon. Since given our average car is now about 20, that would be a great improvement. And you can do that through better materials, hybrid cars, electric cars, lots of opportunities. We can have cleaner fuels. We're looking at whether clean electricity, and I know there's announcements this week about improvements in batteries for cars, or clean biofuels made from waste material, opportunities to power our cars with something besides petroleum. And then there's a huge amount of oil we use in moving goods around in our trucks. And if we were able to both make the trucks more efficient, just as we're making cars more efficient, and we perhaps think about moving goods more by ship or by rail, when the Panama Canal is deepened, we'll be able to move a lot of cross-country goods by ship rather than by truck. All of these are ways that we can easily reduce our oil use by half and more if we just continue with the political will and don't let the oil industry stop us from doing what we know is right for this country.